This is a teaching from One Thing Ministries Singapore. For additional resources and information, please visit our website at www.onethingministries.net.
So it's so important. The Bible talks about that in the year of Jubilee. Actually, it's not a time of celebration. I mean, there is a place to celebrate, but we have to understand when there's a shifting season, what do we do? So we're going to take 4 weeks to talk about this consecration and contending through prayer and fasting in sacred assembly. I'm going to show you from the scripture. Why are we doing this? Because it's so vital. I mean, it's not just a few of us have some good ideas and we are calling for this time of consecration or contending, because the Bible, through the Word of God, require us to consecrate and contend. We cannot assume that things will happen automatically. That's not how the Bible teaches us. See, a lot of time, a lot of us, a lot of people, nations, ministry do not live out the fullness of destiny or our prophetic promises. Simply, we don't understand there's a requirement to contend. We have to contend. Things will not just naturally happen, okay? That is that what the Bible teaches us. So when I talk about why and how we should pray, because it's so vital. How should we pray? Do we pray from our own understanding or truly from the very heart of God? Okay, I'm going to talk about some hindrances. There are three major hindrances that deter the advancing of the kingdom of God. So I'm going to address some of this thing, because my heart is that throughout these four Fridays, we want to understand the time and season that we are living in, because Singapore do not form the whole picture of the kingdom of God. Singapore form part of what God is doing right now. We need to understand the context where we are living in. We are in the generation that Jesus is returning, if we believe that we are living in end time. So how should we pray for Singapore? We need to understand so that we pray from the context of God's heart and His will, so that truly it's not, may my kingdom come, may my will be done, but may His kingdom come, may His will be done. Because we can simply pray, I call it the humanistic prayers, you know, our understanding. I mean, that's not wrong, but God is not obligated. I'll talk a little bit some of this, because we need to pray, inverted comma, right. We need to pray biblical. That's why we need to understand the context. Why God requires us to contend, and how should we pray? So that our prayer will be biblical, our prayer will be effective. The Bible talks about effective prayers. That means if there are effective prayers, there must be ineffective prayers. And I myself know over the years, I pray many ineffective prayers. Okay, I mean, not that God does not love me simply because I pray ineffective, but the key is that we want to pray effectively. We want to pray biblically. I want to talk next 4 weeks primarily from Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2, because Joel chapter 1 and Joel chapter 2 actually give us one of the clearest teaching in the scripture, the requirement of God for His people in releasing the fullness of His purpose. That's why I'm going to talk from Joel 2 and Joel 3. We want to really tackle this issue from the very Word of God. Okay, we want to talk about the requirement of God in releasing the fullness of His purpose. And how do we respond in times of crisis? Do not be mistaken. Crisis is coming. I'm going to explain what kind of crisis is coming. I'm going to explain later, because I want to paint the context tonight, so that next few Fridays, I really want to talk about how do we carry our heart? How do we position ourselves? How do we pray for Singapore? No, I know some of you may think that tonight is a doom and the gloom a message. No, I think we have to understand the context. Then we pray with clarity and understanding, because then we know how to pray that Singapore will not turn towards darkness, but we will turn to the light of God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul pray that the generation will remain blameless in the crooked and perverse generations. There is always hope when we pray. But we cannot assume. You know what? The greatest challenge right now, I know you know, you look at Singapore, we are facing many, I call it morality crisis. can we assume that Singapore will remain blameless? We thank God over these years for righteous government, but we cannot assume. So how do we pray in crisis that is coming? No, do not be mistaken. We have to be real about it. That I call it ostrich mentality, put our head under the sand, pretend nothing is happening. No, true crisis is coming. If you read Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 and 2, which is the clearest prophetic word for such a time as this. Yes, light is coming. Light is going to get brighter. But darkness is going to get darker. So we can't hide the truth that the Bible teaches about. We have to understand so that we know how to position ourselves. And if you read the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah rebuked many as false prophets. You know why they rebuked many as prophets? They just want to preach good things. No, there is a place to be positive. But we don't pretend to be positive in the midst of what is negative that is about to come, because there is something that God wants to say. And that's where we need to understand His heart. And in this Jubilee year, how do we pray for Singapore? So that Singapore will be a nation in the midst of this perverse and crooked generation, that we will stay blameless before the sight of God and we will shine. That's why we need to understand that crisis is coming, and how do we respond biblically? And we have to be intentional and we have to be deliberate in preparing. Watch and pray. Don't assume that we will be ready. You know why? It's that one of the greatest, inverted comma, deception is we assume that we will be ready. That's not what the Bible teaches. Don't assume that we will be ready. We will not be ready automatically. That's naive. That's simplistic. And that's unbiblical. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I basically want to paint the context for what we're going to talk about over the next four Fridays, as well as so that we know how to pray. The most important issue right now is we need to pray from the heart of God. What is God saying? What is God's will for Singapore so that we can stand in the gap? Prayer is basically agreement, agreeing with the heart of God. We have to agree with the heart of God. What is God's will for Singapore? And simply say, yes, Father, I agree. May your kingdom come. May your will be done in Singapore and through Singapore. So that we don't pray this, you know, I love what Cindy Jacob says. She said, soulish prayers. No, it's not sinful prayer, but it's from your own understanding. So that our prayer will be effective. Let's turn with me to Proverbs 16 verse 1. Which talks about there is a requirement to understand and prepare, because we cannot assume that we will be ready. We cannot assume. That's why you'd be surprised. I'm rearranging my schedule, my order of life, and so on. Okay, if you think I'm intense, I'm going to get... No, actually, I'm not. Okay, I'm going to even prepare myself, pressing in understanding and praying. Proverbs 16, verse 1 said this. Listen to this. I'm going to read the first half. The preparation of the heart belong to man. The preparation of the heart belong to man. And there are many, many scripture. The principle of if and then. If my people ask, then I will respond. There is, in very common, a requirement to set our heart. No, again, when we set our heart, it's not the issue of we earning it. You see, I can put a piece of best steak in Singapore to you. From where's the best? Wharton? Eh? Wharton, okay, Wharton. Some say Gordon Grill. Okay, I don't know. Whatever it is. If I can put the best piece of steak in front of you, if you don't open your mouth and eat it, there's nothing I can do. It's the same. God wants to release grace unto us unless we, inverted comma, cooperate. It's called the if and the then principle in the Bible. So it's naive, it's simplistic, it's unbiblical if we think that we will automatically shine. Because the scripture talks about the great falling away. Many believers were turned away. In fact, you understand about the prophecy about end time. majority of nations were turned against God. Wow. What makes us assume that Singapore will stay righteous? At the end of the day, we are still a secular government. What makes us so sure? You know, one of the hottest issues right now is LGBT. I've got to get it right. LGBT agenda. What makes us so sure that Singapore will stay righteous? We can't assume. That's why we need to contend. We are naive to think that everything will just go on business as usual. No, life can't live business as usual right now. We will be surprised. The question of the hour right now is this, if you want to write down. The question of the hour is this. When the moment arrives, whether it's good or bad, when the moment arrives, will we be found ready or will we be found wanting? You know, we always say a situation makes a man. No, a situation reveals a man. When crisis comes, when storms of life come, whether you stand or you crumble is depending on how you have been living and preparing yourself for the last 10, 15 years. You don't suddenly become ready. That is naive. Why in tough times some people stand? Is it because at the moment the guy just bite the bullet? No. That is the strength in the inner man because the person has been preparing all this years. So when the moment arrives, the moment is about, we are racing to that moment right now. Time is ticking. If you are wise, over the last 5-10 years, I'll give you one of the best examples, this LGBT agenda. If you remember, some of you have been me for longer. 10 years ago, I say, mark my words, this will be a hot issue 10 years from now. Now, it's the hottest right now. Most talk about. Are we assuming when the moment arrives, will we be found ready or will we be found wanting? And one of the vital verses is Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We got to pay attention. We got to hear what the Spirit is saying. But more than that, we have to say yes. Respond. And do something now, not later. Let me tell you, things won't get any easier. It will get more intense. No, I'm not asking you to quit your job and don't study, you know, kids just stay at home. No. But it's about rearranging, reorder, reprioritize our life because things are not going to get easier. If you think now is hard, it's going to get harder. It will get harder. Pressure will increase. For sure. No, I'm not just talking about pressure to study or whatever. No. Pressure will increase for sure. Okay. The purpose of sharing this next 4 or 5 series because God is really inviting us to enter into season of consecration and contending in this year of Jubilee. And I say it biblically. That's why we want to contend, but we need to contend with understanding from God's heart. Biblically, the year of Jubilee is a significant time. Means things are going to change. Things are going to change. Just write this down. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. Basically, it talks about things is going to change. There's going to be a shift. There will be transitions. There will be turning. But the key is this. What our nation turned to, how our nations turn out, is determined by our prayers. The key determining factor is believer, the people of God in this land, standing in the gap, understand what is God's heart, and we contend. So we cannot assume that it will be automatic. That's why I say Jubilee, let Singapore celebrate. But we have to contend. This really is the time to contend, not time to celebrate. You know, I'm telling my guys, we are on this first 50 days of fast. Why are we so worried? You know, as if it's not as if like after you know January 1st onwards, we are not going to eat forever. It's only 50 days. After 50 days, you can eat anything you want. Who cares? No, So sometimes we have this unfound fear. It's like, oh, 50 days, die, you know, die. It's like, you're not going to eat forever. No! This unfound fear, I mean, it's like after 50 days, February 19th, and that's first day of Chinese New Year, you can eat all you want. I don't care. You can eat until you puke. But do you know, we never really think about this seriously. Most of us in this room will not have another Jubilee. I'm talking about Singapore. So we should give our all in containing so that what our nation turned to, how our nation turned out, is determined by us praying. It's very simple. Daniel 9, you know, we assume. Go and read Daniel 9. Daniel realized, you know, he read Jeremiah 25, that this prophetic word that after 70 years of exile, Israel is going to return to Jerusalem. He didn't just celebrate, wow, let's see, no, throw a party. What did he do? He fasted. He prayed. Because he know, he understand the principle that he has to contend. Same for, just write down, Daniel 9. Same for 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. Paul actually exhorted Timothy to pray. Wage a warfare for his promise that God has given to him. We cannot assume. So understand, so that I'm going to talk about some of this so that we know what to pray and how to pray. That's why one of the prayers that we pray a lot over this week is Colossians 1:9. We want to know the knowledge of God's will for Singapore with understanding. I don't want to just say prayer. I want to agree with the heart of God for Singapore. What if God has bad plan for Singapore? Then you don't know God. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 says what? God says what? I have a good and perfect plan for everyone, for every nation. A plan that is never to harm us. The plan that is never to, no, not never. The plan that is to bless us. That's where we need to have understanding. But they see, again, we are human. We will never fully understand. What God thinks is good for us may not be what we think is good for us. But that's where we have to align with the heart and the will of God. No, I'm not against prosperity. I'm not. But that, what is God saying? I mean, I always tell God, God, whatever God's will for Singapore, by the way, keep Singapore prosperous. I mean, it helps. Got bus, got MRT, got aircon. But what is the will of God? That's where we need to pray from the position and the heart of God. Matthew 6:10, may your kingdom come, may your will be done. The next thing is this. We all know. I'm not predicting. It's throughout worldwide. God makes it so clear through many prophetic voices and through the scripture. We are living in the context. No, we are living in the generation where Jesus is returning. How many years? I don't know. That means we are living in end time. So how do we pray? We got to pray in the context of we are living in end time. Let me tell you honestly. This is my own opinion. Again, that's not important, but that's what I think. And many people will concur with me. I don't know whether Singapore will have another Jubilee. I don't know. Maybe the next Jubilee is Millennium Kingdom already. So Millennium Kingdom, what do you pray? I don't know. I mean, just my thought. But the thing is, we all say, oh, we are living in time. We are living in time. If we are living in end time, so how should we pray for Singapore in the context that we are living in end time? That's what we need to understand. Yeah, I don't think we, oh, sure, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. 60 years, so. 70 years, so. We still have to understand we are living in the context of Jesus is returning. So how do we pray for our nation? What is God's heart for our nation? Okay, so I'm going to take 4 sessions. Thank God. I know. No, I want to create that impact so that you understand. I'm going to take 4 sessions to talk about different things so that we will understand and pray more biblically and effectively. Okay, today I'm going to talk about Psalms 2 and Psalms 110. You got to put Psalms 2 and Psalms 110 together because both Psalms set the context on the season that we are living in. If you ask me what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, Psalms 2 is one of the clearest. Not nice chapter, but one of the clearest. Okay, so I'm going to talk about Psalms 2 and Psalms 10. We are very familiar, but I'm going to give you another aspect of what is going to happen. Paint the context and what the Father is thinking, because it's so vital. God is not going to be silent. He will not. What are we going to say? Then the next thing is, who is Jesus? And the last one is, then how do we respond, which is vital. Trust me, we don't have much time. We are not there yet, but we are racing there. We are really racing there. And if we are wise, pay attention. Mark my word. Okay, so tonight I'm going to talk about Psalms 2 and Psalms 110. Next Friday, I'm going to talk about Joel chapter 1, verse 1 to 12. Because it's so important. Because talk about hearing. Hearing. In fact, Joel makes it a point. Not just our generation. Our children's generation. Our children's children's generation. Our children, children, children's generation. No, he's not talking about it. Simply just talking about the time and so on. He's talking about it is so important. Everyone needs to know. Whatever that we're going to talk about tonight and next 4 Fridays, talk to it. Talk and share with your children. They need to know. If it's not going to be within my lifetime, I'm 50, you know, I'm Jubilee, I'm ahead of Singapore. If it's not going to be within my lifetime, it will be within their lifetime. It's not going to be easy. But there is hope, there will be grace. If we understand and prepare ourselves, then we will shine. The Bible promised victory. What is the future for our children in this nation? Depending on how we understand and how we contend. Don't assume Singapore will prosper. Don't assume Singapore will stay righteous. We have a pretty righteous government. But I'm saying is this, as a believer, we need to learn to thank God for our government, pray for our government. Okay, so that's next week. January 23rd, I'm going to talk about Joel 2, verse 1, which talk about the voice of God. God needs a watchman on the wall. God needs a faithful witness. That means the voice. Watchman on the wall means there must be someone who cried to God for justice and for mercy. And there must be voice who cry out to the people to proclaim. Firstly, to the people of God. Secondly, to nations. Crisis is coming. It is true. It's unpopular, but it is true. And January 30th, I talk about the requirement at Joel 2, verse 12 to 17. The requirement of God in times of crisis or in releasing the fullness of God, okay? This is not what Kay Chong say. People say, yeah, okay, one thing ministry, IHOP, we must fast. No! Whether you're in IHOP, you're in one thing ministry, or whatever, you go to the church down the road, the Bible says you got to fast. This is not defined by IHOP, one thing ministry. This is defined by the Bible. So what is, you know, I always people say, yeah, I don't catch on what. This is not what I want. I tell you, if I can decide, I think I have a better idea. The more you eat, the more grace come. I like paint. This is not what I say. This is what the Bible defines. Yeah, I mean, Joel very happy also. Alex, sure. Yeah, eat more steak. Power will come. I mean, I also like that, but this is not what God says. So this is not what I say. You know, I mean, we have people who thought, yeah, okay, one thing we say, must fast and go somewhere. You think you go somewhere, don't need to fast. It's a matter of time. Mark my word. This word will be so clear. The church will be awakened to prayer and fasting, and there will be grace. What does Isaiah 56 verse 7 say? It's my house shall be called the house of prayer. It means it's only one thing ministry. Your church is not a house of prayer. The church down the road is not a house of prayer. So what? Pray. And I'm not saying you have to do it the way we do it. That's not the point. Okay, turn to me to Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Psalms. No, this is not a doom and a gloom message. We are setting a context so that if we learn how to set our heart right, we know how to pray with understanding. No, pray with understanding, not denying what is going to happen. That's called ostrich mentality. Pray with understanding means we know what does God say through the word, what is going to happen. We know how God is asking us to intercede. There is always hope. There is victory. That's what it is about. You know, I hate this when people say, don't talk about the negative things. Bible talks a lot about negative things. Yes. I mean, are we hiding? I don't want to be the prophet that Jeremiah rebuked, you know. You only prophesy good things, but God says what? Judgment is coming. That's Jeremiah chapter 23. That's why they are called the false prophet. You know why? We have to get out of this wanting to be popular. Get over it. No, we politically correct message and statement is not going to cut it. No, it may cut it in the eyes of man. When a real crisis comes, we are not going to stand. You know, all this feel-good message is not going to help. No, I like to feel good too. I want to say something good too. But I have to say something good in accordance to what the Word of God says for such time as this. Turning me to Psalms 2. I'm going to talk about Psalms 2 and Psalms 110. Okay, I'm basically setting the context of what is going to happen because it's relevant for our nation as well as what is the heart of God. Because at the end of God, the ultimate questions God will have is what? Do you agree? Do you agree with me? That's called prayers. That's why I'm going to end with Psalm 110 where God asks a very powerful question. Do you agree with me in the days of my power? You know what's the day of a power? In the day when Jesus comes, He's going to show forth judgment. Do you agree with me? That's why we need to understand why the God of love and mercy, He will judge. I tell you, it's naive and unbiblical when we preach that God is not going to judge. Let me tell you, millions of lives, hundreds, millions of lives are being murdered each year. Say, where? Abortion. Murder. God is a God of righteousness. God is a God of justice. You think He will stay silent? If He stays silent, He does not do anything. He's not God of righteousness. He's not God of justice. That's why we're going to pray for mercy. You're going to speak, this is wrong. Even for our nation, I think Singapore, abortion is legal, right? We have to understand, yet we haven't gone that way like USA or Europe yet. But how do we know? He says, well, we are naive. God will not judge. He said, yeah, God won't judge the church. You sure? What does the Bible say? 1 Peter say what? Judgment will begin with the what? Next door, my neighbor. Judgment will begin with the house of God. What is the house of God? Only house of prayer. Only the house of prayer. One Thing Ministry, I Help Kansas City, or whoever do a house of prayer. No, house of prayer. House of God is the church, the people of God. We are naive. We don't understand what the word. That's why this is going to be popular. But this yet is the word of God. God is looking for watchmen to pray. God is looking for faithful witness that will not dilute the message. It will not. I tell you, if we pray, it will be our finest hour for Singapore. Singapore has a destiny. We don't exist for a reason. No, we don't exist for no reason. There's no reason why Singapore should be Singapore. I always, when my friend asked me, overseas asked me about, how do you describe Singapore? I always say this. Singapore has nothing. The only free thing is air. We are so small, if you drive more than an hour, you drop into the sea. There's no reason why we even survive because simply because of God. Okay, tell me Psalms 2. Psalms 2. Let me just give you some info about Psalms 2 because it's unlikely that I can go in detail, but I'm going to start the process so that you actually dig it. Because I taught this many times. Okay. So I can just give you the picture. Psalms 2, probably one of the most important chapters in the Bible for such a time as this. I'll give you five reasons. Because it gives us the clearest insight to five things. Five things. The first one is this. What the Spirit is saying now. What the Spirit is saying now. That's the first thing. Second, what is going to happen at the end of the age? Not yet. We are not there yet. But soon. In fact, if you have understanding, we are racing there. I tell you, time is passing so fast. Oh, I just came back from Kansas City. I felt like I just went last year. No, the year before, only a month ago. It's like, you know, today I'm sharing this first message of the year. It's like, I said, last year I was sharing. What did I share last year? If you all still remember, about returning to first love. It's like, only last month. No, more than just time is passing fast. I always say this, 10 years will pass by like a minute. Not just time. If you look at issue, it's escalating so fast, we don't even realize. Many things have happened over the last 5 years that is much more than what has happened over the last 15 and 20 years. It's going to be fast. It will be even faster. We are racing towards there right now. Now is the hour to decide. We have no time. Okay. First one is, what is the Spirit saying? Second, what is going to happen at the end of the age? No, it's vital for us to know. Not yet, but we are racing there. Third, what is God the Father thinking and feeling? He has feeling. God is not neutral right now. You think He looked down from heaven? What is He feeling? What does He wants to do? You know, we always pray this, God, what are you thinking? What are you feeling? You find one of the clearest answers here. Here, okay. In the context of everything that's happening around here, what do you think God is thinking? You think He's very happy? Is it prodding? That's why we need to understand. So that, no, I'm not asking us to pray for judgment. We are asking us to pray for mercy, for grace. That's why it's so crucial. The destiny of our nations is in the hand of intercessors. The key thing, okay? No, I'm not, because I do this because of House of Prayer. No, I didn't plan to be an intercessor. I don't plan to do the House of Prayer. But over the years, I'm so convinced. I'm so convicted. I tell myself, I'm not even trying to convince you. If you're not going to do it, I'm going to do it. I mean, I'll say myself, I'm no time to waste. I'm not convinced. If you don't do it, I'm going for it. I'm going for it. If at the end of the day, I'm the last man, I'm going for it. Okay. So the third thing is, what is God the Father thinking and feeling? Fourth one. Tell this such a powerful psalm. Who is Jesus when He returns? In three verses. Who is Jesus when He returns and what He will do? Vital. Last one. How should we prepare ourselves? How should we prepare ourselves? Five things. Need me to say again? Don't have to? Or yes? Okay, let me just run through one more time. What the Spirit is saying now. Second, what is going to happen at the end of the age? Not yet, but soon. When I say soon, we don't know. 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, are we going to wait? Because when it happens, you will not be ready. Now is the time to buy oil. Now is the time to pray for our nations. That is the key thing. Third thing, what is God the Father thinking and feeling? Fourth, who is Jesus when He returns? Fifth, how should we prepare ourselves? You know, the fourth question is so vital. If we don't understand, we will not agree with Him. I'll show you from Psalms 110. Okay. It's such a short passage of scripture. Okay. Both Psalms 2 and Psalms 110, but it's relevant for our time. It's so prophetic for our time. It gives us one of the clearest description. Okay. We all know it's written by David. About 1,000 BC. I tell you, it's a prophetic psalm. It's commonly known as a messianic psalm. There are about 20 over to 30 messianic psalms. Messianic psalm basically is about end-time psalms. Okay, actually, you see, we need to study the book of Psalms carefully. Because a lot of time when we study the book of Psalms, we think that it's just a song book. Book of Psalms is more than just a song book. There is a flow of the book of Psalms that tell human history in the eyes of God from the beginning until the end. And primarily it's emphasizing upon one man. You know who is that man? Jesus. Psalms 1 begins with what? Blessed is the man. Who do you think that man is? Study carefully. It cannot be, David cannot be referring to himself, because there's no way David can live out their requirements. There's only one man, Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, can lift up that requirement. And when you begin to understand Psalms 1, then you begin to understand Psalms 2, because Psalms 2 talk about there will be a king that will rule the nation. The king has to be perfectly righteous. David knew that he cannot be that man, because David committed at least 10 major sins. Adultery, whatever, so on. I'm not too sure whether his time got pornography, but got pornography, I'm sure he must be in it. He said, okay, David, I don't know, I just think. Okay, we talk about it when I see you. Yeah, so cannot be referring to himself. That's what we need to understand. So that's Psalms, okay? It's so relevant. So relevant, okay? Let's turn to, I'll give you a simple outline. Then we're going to go verse by verse. Psalms 2, simple outline. Okay, this Psalms, I say many times, actually is Charles Spurgeon is the first person who actually defines it. Okay, can be broken into four scenes. Okay, because there are 12 verses. 12 verses can divide into four scenes. Every scene is 3 verses. Okay, can be broken into 4 scenes with 4 characters. And these 4 characters actually dominate 4 different scenarios. Okay, it's like 4 personality. Everyone gets 4 personality. Everybody gets 3 verses. I want to say 4 verses. Then it's 16 verse. Yeah, that's why I'm a pastor. Can't count. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I know I say this offend a lot of pastors. Only me. Okay, so Psalms 2, simple outline. 4 scene with 4 characters dominating 4 different scenarios. Scene 1, verse 1 to 3. Verse 1 to 3 is about kings of the nations. Kings of the nations, where nations speak. It's not a very nice thing that they speak. Nations speak. There will be, verse 1 to 3 talks about the global unity against God. Global unity against God. There will be a rise of unholy alliances and an unholy confidence against God. That's why we need to pray for Singapore. Will we go that way? Okay. No, this is not going to be passive. If you read carefully, we're going to run through verse by verse. This unholy alliance against God is not going to be passive. It will be open. It will be outright. It will be bold. Now it's still subtle. There will come a time it will be bold. And it's one of the great deceptions. I'll talk about it later. That's verse 1 to 3. It's kings of the nation, they speak. Verse 4 to 6 is about God the Father. God the Father. God speaks. God speaks. You know what he's talking about? Is the fathers respond to the kings of the nations. Wow, you know, like this one of the terrible few verses when God mocks. God mocks, you better hide. Yeah, so it's about the fathers respond to the kings of the nations. It's one of the clearest insights how God will feel and what he wants at the end of the age. It's going to be unpopular because you're going to talk about the wrath. The wrath. You know, now no one wants to say negative things about God's wrath. No, be clear about it. Bible talks about God is going to pour forth his wrath at the end of the age. Why? I say earlier, how can God be silent in the midst of maximum sin and wickedness? Remember days of Noah? What did God do? God poured out unprecedented wrath. He killed everyone except 8 persons. You know why? It's what Daniel 8:23 prophesied about at the end of the age. Sin has reached its fullness. It's going to happen again. You think God will be silent? He will not. This is the question of the hour is this. If God is not silent, what do you think? What do you say? How do you pray if God is not silent? I know it's unpopular. No, that's why I just came back to Kansas City. They said, yeah, Kichong, great. You're one of those guys that will say. I said, yeah, tell them, you don't even understand the kind of trouble that I get in. Say, yeah, friends of the bridegroom, friends of the bridegroom. Yeah, that's why John got beheaded. Yeah. That is sin two. Sin three. No, I tell you, this will not be this will not be popular. Fasten your seatbelt. Because more and more, the world is leaning on the popular gospel, which is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are preaching a Jesus, that is what we think and what we like. Jesus of our culture. Go and study. That's why verse 7 to 9 is so important, which is sin three. Sin three. Now it's about Jesus. He came into the scene and he speaks. This is about Jesus as the king and judge. Jesus as the king and judge, okay? Just give you some insight, then I'm going to go verse by verse, okay? Insight into who Jesus is when he returns. We need to know. That's why I told some of the people in the house that one of the things that I want to do this year is that I really want to spend my time studying and then teach us about who Jesus is. Him as a bridegroom, him as a king, him as a judge. We barely understand. We will be offended. No, Jesus is full of mercy. Jesus is full of grace. He's full of compassion. But there's another side. He comes with the eyes like a flame of fire. It's both passion and both wrath. I'm going to show you some verse. No, not my idea and so on. So this is sin three about Jesus as a king and judge. Basically talk about three roles that he will do. Verse 7 is that he will be a priest. He will be an intercessor. That's why you need to study together Psalms 110. Okay? It explains why God is raising up the greatest prayer movement at the end of the age. Because the one is returning is the greatest intercessors. So if he's going to pray, why do we not need to pray? We always pray we want to be like Christ, isn't it? Amen? Now no one say it. Yes. Why night and day prayer? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding, what? When he has time. Day and night. That's verse 7. When he returns, I tell you, God is so serious. And later we go to Psalms 110, you realize God is so serious. God the Father, no, I am relentless about this. He will forever be a king, of course. But Psalms 110 say, he will forever be a priest.